Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Okay, it's that riot show back again to entertain, inform, and do a whole lot of other different things. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
Welcome back to the Riotous Studios. Let me be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas. Hope you enjoyed your holiday. How was it for you? Did you have a good time?
Very good. I spent a lot of time with the family.
Yep.
As always.
Yes.
But it is wonderful.
Yes.
Merry Christmas to you. I hope you
Thank
had a
you.
Good one.
Yes, I had an enjoyable Christmas holiday. Unfortunately, we'll have to go with the Merry Christmas in the studio because between me, you, and our producer, Phil, we all celebrate Christmas in here. So we have no need to do the politically correct happy holidays or run through the happy Ramadan, happy Kwanzaa, happy Chanukah.
Yes, Chanukah being, of course, more important because we don't want our show to go off the air.
That's right. We will, however, to your point, take the time to say happy Chanukah or Hanukkah, as it is sometimes referred to.
Hanukkah,
because we all know the Jews run the business, and we've always said that.
Yes, and we know it, and we will kiss ass.
That's right. We're not blind to the truth.
That's
like,
right.
We might be idealists, Judo Larium, idealists for liberty and freedom, but we also know who runs the media business in the U.S.
That's right. That's why we're no longer serious.
Actually, technically, I think the Jews run it worldwide, do they not? Isn't it a worldwide Zionist conspiracy to own and control the various media channels?
Yeah, it is.
Of course it is.
I've heard that. I don't know if I'm totally comfortable with it, but I... And if it is true, you didn't hear it from us.
That's so, right.
That's the other thing.
If it is true, you won't be hearing from us no more.
That's that riot show disclaimer. Allegedly.
All right. Well, I hope sincerely everyone enjoyed their holidays, or if you're in the midst of your holidays, I hope you continue to enjoy them, as we go headfirst towards our 100th episode, Judo Larium, this current episode you're listening to being episode number 98 of The Riot. Who knew we would have lasted this long? But we're still here, Judo Larium.
We're still here, despite who controls
the media. Despite who controls the media.
And they're despising
yes.
of our
yes.
libertarian espousing.
And the fact that we do hold our Savior, Jesus Christ, above all else.
Yes.
Praise his name.
Yes, he is my co-pilot.
But even so, we think that maybe one or two of the Jews still like us in media.
Yes. Hopefully.
Maybe one or two. I don't even know.
Well, one or two is all you need. Simple math.
I love playing into this nonsense like with all these fucking white supremacist assholes. And like, what is it? The anti-Zog movement? Is that what it's called?
The anti-Zog, the anti-Zionist occupation government. They're out there. I saw one documentary on HBO. The funniest thing I've ever seen. The guy actually had Zog tattooed on the side of his forehead. He had a mohawk. And like one side said Zog and the other side it said like stop. I was like, really? That's the tattoo you have? And you have to, that means for the rest of his life, if he wants to be loud and proud about
right.
it, he has to keep making sure he cuts his hair that way so
right.
you can see it. Because if not.
And he also wants you to, you always have to read it in the right order, I guess. First, you got to read the stop side of his head, then the Zog side.
Yeah.
Stop Zog. Otherwise, it could be interpreted differently because if you see the wrong side of his head, it could be like Zog, comma, stop.
Stop what?
Stop making fun of Zog.
Stop watch? nothing like a crazy conspiracy
or what if
kick
he,
off on Christmas.
What if he got drunk and passed out and somebody tattooed can't above the stop?
Or suppose somebody tattooed asshole that with arrows pointing.
Or don't. Don't stop Zog.
Well, that would be ripping off Fleetwood Mac.
Asshole rednecks. Like, that's what it
Aren't
comes
they
down
hilarious?
To. They're fun. Great, yeah. They're fun. All right, Judalarium. Anyway, let's do some quick pimping before we get on with the rest of the show. You're listening to That Riot Show. Follow us on thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. You can also follow us on all the great podcast repositories and directories, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Pod-O-Matic, Player FM. Anywhere great podcast can be heard, you'll find That Riot Show. Just search for That Riot Show, That Riot Show. You can also find us on YouTube. We've got our own channel there, That Riot Show channel on YouTube, where you can find the full episodes plus the riotous clips. So make your way over to any of those fine venues for all your riotous needs. Okay. I did that in my best professional tone and delivery, Judalarium.
It was very well done.
Thank you, sir.
Very well done.
Okay, let's move on, first of all, and let's start with some serious / somber news. Over the past week or so, we here in New York City, we've had the protests over the lack of an indictment in the death of Eric Garner, that being the man who was, and I'm using air quotes, choked to death while being taken into custody by the NYPD. As we talked about the last episode, the police officer that was caught on tape, and I hate to say choked him to death because I don't think he got choked to death, but he died while
he
being,
died
taken
as a
custody,
of
right?
being taken into custody.
Right. There was a lack of an indictment. So here in New York, we've had, I must say, relatively peaceful protests for about since that lack of an indictment was announced.
Wow.
Wouldn't you say, like, really, for the most part,
it's
peaceful?
I think it's been a mixed bag.
Yeah.
There's been some violence. They attacked some cops on the Manhattan Bridge.
That's what I meant by mostly.
Yeah. The only thing is, I've noticed with the far left that the days of peaceful protests do seem to be going the way of the dodo. There's a lot more rhetoric from them that they think peaceful protest just gets ignored.
Right.
Which is not true. That's
right.
Actually the way to get things done.
Right.
That's when you get any respectability and everything. But
it hasn't been Ferguson-level nonsense in New York.
No. Not at all. But there has been some moments of ugliness. And, like, even stupid de Blasio asked them not to protest over the weekend.
That's Mayor de Blasio.
Yeah. I'm not calling him that anymore.
Yeah. But,
just stupid de Blasio.
Yeah, so let's...
Actually, I'm calling him Warren Wilhelm, you know, because that's his real fucking name.
I'm calling him the commie in office. But... So we did have some protesting, and I think, yeah, there was an isolated incident or two of some violence. But for the most part, considering the number of people involved, I think it's been fairly peaceful protest. And at least for my part, I don't speak for Larry, but for my part, at least, I think there should have been protests. You know, I do think there should have been an indictment in the Eric Garner case. It's not the same as Mike Brown. We've said that before. But what apparently happened during the course of this is the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, a well-known, and I'm not exaggerating, I think, you know, he admits to this, a well-known communist. He used to run supplies for the Sandinistas in the late 80s.
I think we're going to have to stipulate that he's not a communist.
Well, he did run supplies for the Sandinistas. It was a New York Times article.
He went to Cuba on his honeymoon. I understand.
But he ran as a Democrat.
Well,
but he is a very left-wing,
very left-wing,
left-wing. I call him communist mayor. But anyway, he's had a very, very, very adversarial relationship with the NYPD ever since he took office.
Yeah, well, he ran on it.
He ran on
people,
it.
People, you know, who live outside the city, people who even live here forget. Like, back when the primaries were going on and there were, like, 8 candidates running, he was already, because I actually watch all the debates, a stupid person that I am, but I watch these things. You have to remember, he was already doing the two cities thing.
Right.
When he was running, that there's, like, a white city and a black city and a rich city and a poor city. He was already doing that crap when he was running. In fact, I hate to say this about my beloved city, that's actually what catapulted him into first.
Right.
If I don't know if anybody remembers this.
Between
but
that and Wiener, yeah.
Right, Wiener dropping out, but also... When the field was kind of a mishmash of people, that's how he, all of a sudden, he shot, I remember this, from like 12% or something to like 31%. He started doing the two cities crap and all that.
Well,
and
he also, you're right, and he also took advantage of his biracial family. In other words,
yes, he got his wife and kids out
that
there.
That very, and I admit, it was a great political commercial, which was his son Dante, who is black. You know, when he did the commercial saying, you know, when he made that commercial about, you know, that we need a city hall that's more in tune, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, and that guy is my dad, Bill de Blasio, you know, and then you see de Blasio, who's white, with his son, who's black.
Well, officially biracial.
Yeah, but I mean,
is what they call it.
To the eye, he's black. Yeah,
he's got the Jackson 5 fro from the 70s.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was a very powerful commercial, and that tied into what you said, that overnight going from like worst to first in that Democratic field.
Yeah, he was in a mishmash, and all of a sudden he just shot up there.
So, but you know, that didn't play well with the cops. And I'm not saying that everything has to play well with the cops, but... It, already the cops kind of had their eye on this guy, like, is he really going to support us? Nah. Now, with the Eric Garner thing, you have to understand, you know, as expected, the mayor, being this left-wing nut, you know, he partnered up with Al Sharpton, the race baiter, and they started putting this narrative together about, you know, cops being, you know... you know, not murderers, but cops being insensitive to minorities, and minorities get treated one way and whites get treated another.
Yeah, but this has been Al Sharpton's thing since...
Of course.
For the past 12 years. He has wanted to undo everything that Giuliani put in place.
And Bloomberg,
in fact,
too,
But Bloomberg didn't do anything. Bloomberg just carried what Giuliani did and just stayed with it.
Right.
Yeah, he's even talked about it on his stupid show on MSNBC. He doesn't like the way the police are organized and trained, and he puts all that on Giuliani. But of course, I mean, if you live here, you know that that's when the city was its safest, its cleanest night. So, I mean, that's just further proof that Al Sharpton's a fucking asshole.
Right. And so, you're right. And between Sharpton and de Blasio, they really did partner up to again, further this narrative of a tale of two cities. And the cops really were already pretty much against de Blasio in the sense that they really didn't trust him. They didn't think he had his back. It was almost like a repeat 20 years ago of the Dinkins administration, who was the first black mayor of New York City, where, you know, the cops were just not trusted. But anyway, so what happened, Larry, was that while these protests were going on, two New York City cops sitting in their squad car were essentially executed.
Yeah, assassinated,
shot in the back of the head. Now, they were shot in the back of the head by this African-American, I don't think transient's the right word, but I think he came up from Baltimore, where he had just finished killing his girlfriend.
Well, he didn't kill her. He shot her in the stomach.
Oh, I'm sorry. He shot her in the stomach.
And she survived.
And he made his way up here, and he basically shot these two cops. Now, what accompanied this, of course, were his Instagram and Facebook rants, where he said he was going to put wings on pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
For every one Eric Garner, there's going to be two cops that we take. In other words, very...
So for every one of us, we take two
of them.
Yeah.
You know, so... And, of course, now is when the hyperbole starts, in my opinion, on both sides, right? So... You know, the right wingers and the cops in New York saying, see, that's what happens when you have a mayor that supports like this nonsense. You have he's inspiring these killers. And, you know,
of course, this guy, his name was Brindle, whatever his name is. We should point out, they do believe he was, like, mentally ill.
Of course.
Well, let's throw that out there.
But let me, I'm saying.
But there's no doubt de Blasio has created an environment where people now feel comfortable lashing out at the police.
Well, of course. And then de Blasio, of course, in the middle of all this, had his famous press conference or infamous press conference where he said, as a result of the Eric Garner case, he had to sit Dante down, his son, Dante, and explain how to act in front of the cops or with cops.
Right. He said he had to talk.
Yeah. And now, of course, again, de Blasio very cleverly trying to use his biracial / black looking son as a political tool, because, you know, he didn't say I had that talk with like any kid. He very specifically referenced Dante by name, to indicate that, hey, if you're a black kid in the city, you have to be taught that the police are out to get you. I mean, that was the mess. Yeah. That was the implication of his statement, right?
So stupid.
Which is ridiculous. That's just inflammatory. So now the cops, to the point where the police, the PBA union chief Lynch,
Pat Lynch,
came out, and Lynch is an idiot, by the way. Let me throw that out there. I don't agree with Lynch.
I don't agree with that.
I think Lynch overstates his things. He came out and was like, okay, now we don't want de Blasio at any cops' funerals. We've passed this petition.
Why would you want him there?
No, I'm just saying that Lynch didn't do anything to put a lid on the situation. He made it worse. I think that
I don't think so.
And I think Lynch has never met a cop that did anything wrong either. I think, chief.
That's a separate issue. This is a mayor who has been hostile, who has fomented this
agreed
mentality. And even as far as the parades go, the marches, he's allowed them to get out of control. He's allowed them to run up and down like the West Side Highway and stop cars and just totally. I mean, look, it's borderline lawlessness. And that's what's disturbing about it. As far as what he did, look, you have to do that. There has to be some pushback to the mayor with this attitude. He's hanging out with stupid Sharpton, and now two cops get killed. What's he supposed to say? Like, oh, that's fine. Look, I have no problem with what Lynch said, and I have no problem with the cops turning their back on de Blasio when he showed up at the hospital and everything. Because you know what? Pay attention, lefties. That's actually peaceful protest.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You turn your back on somebody, that's it. If I were them, I wouldn't want to see this fucking guy. Get out of here.
I don't disagree with you. I think that the cops have every right to turn their backs. To your point, that is a peaceful protest. But it was funny because I was listening to the current commissioner of New York is William Bratton, who also was commissioner under
Giuliani.
Yeah. But the previous commissioner, Raymond Kelly, who I thought did a really good job as NYPD commissioner, they were interviewing him and he said, look, I fully support the right of the cops to turn their backs on de Blasio, and there's nothing in what they did that's a fireable or punishable offense under the New York guidelines. But he goes, he even said, I find it distasteful because in essence.
Why?
Well, he explained. He goes, in essence, de Blasio is their commander in chief, the same way you wouldn't expect like officers in the Pentagon to turn their backs on Obama. You wouldn't expect cops to turn their backs on the mayor, even though it's their right. He just thought, and I mean, Kelly,
I think he's missing the point here. I mean, look, if you're them and two of you've just gone through weeks of people yelling, cursing, throwing stuff at two cops, they got beaten up on the Manhattan Bridge. One guy got his nose broken. And if you're facing this kind of hostility, the mayor is supposed to have your back. And he doesn't. And so their choices are they have to just take it, or they can at least express how they feel to this guy. And look, it's already worked. Now de Blasio's walking it back a little bit. He's asked the protesters to take it easy. He's showing up at
funerals. And what did the protesters do?
No, but I was getting to that. See, this is why de Blasio's an idiot. Now he's lost everybody. Like, first he was on the side of all the lefties and the protesters, right, and the cops are the bad guys. Then he tried to walk it back, take it easy with the protests. He's showing up to but the protesters said, fuck you, we're going to protest anyway. So now he's got no friends.
Right.
And he's just in this like limbo.
Right.
Where now nobody respects
him. Well, it's funny because much like you and I predicted at the time of his election, he's a one-term mayor. And
that remains to be seen, but I still believe that.
Yeah, I do too. And I mean, because it's funny, but when you look at de Blasio, like we said, like he oh, the other thing I was going to say, I forgot, is when those cops got beat up, and I think it was two police lieutenants got beat up during the protests, de Blasio's first words out of his mouth were this alleged attack.
That's another thing.
Which threw off the cops crazy. Like, what's alleged about it? You have two cops with busted faces in the hospital.
And there's footage of it.
Yeah, there's no alleged about it. You know what I mean? I think, in other words, de Blasio, even at that point, was trying so hard to be on the side of the protesters.
Exactly.
Alleged beating. You know,
and that's the mentality of these people.
Yeah.
I grew up in the city, I grew up in the village, and this is their mentality. I mean, you know how you were just talking about Lynch never thinks the cops are wrong? You know what the problem with the left is in this, especially the far left? I don't want to dump that on the average Democrat because they probably will agree with me on this. The problem with the far left is the protesters are never wrong.
Exactly.
No matter what they do.
Right.
Throw a bottle at a cop's head, yeah, well, so what? They throw a chair at them, or they throw a punch, or they spit at them. The protesters are never wrong.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, it's really, you're dealing with extremes at this point.
I do agree with you
but
on that.
Lynch is
yeah.
doing what he has to do. I mean, what's he supposed to say? Well, this is all fine. The cops are just punching bags.
I don't
upset about something.
Listen, I don't disagree that Lynch has to protect his membership. But at the same time, I think he has to understand when he's making a situation worse. And I think that coming out and being combative at this point and being, you know, it's like, I don't think that's useful.
If he said nothing and he just let it all slide, what does that do?
I mean, you also have to understand.
You could be encouraging it.
You also have to understand, like, every time there's been, like, even the Eric Garner case, he came out very forcefully against Garner, you know, and I mean, you know, blaming Garner for everything.
Well, I didn't see any comments from him.
Yeah.
And if he did, he's wrong.
Of course,
guy should have been indicted.
Yeah, Lynch.
That doesn't mean he's guilty of anything. It just means
he should have been indicted. That's
indicted.
Yeah.
And this should have been properly adjudicated.
That's all we're saying.
This is our system.
Yeah.
Probably negligent homicide or involuntary manslaughter, something.
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 Where the guy probably does no jail time but gets booted off the force or something like that. Right. And honestly, that's what we've always said. I didn't think that cop killed Eric Garner.
No, not at all.
But his actions contributed to his death, and that's all you need for an indictment.
Right.
And we've said that over and over again. He should have been indicted. He should have had his day in court. And right. I'm guaranteeing you, 99% the guy got off in court. But I understand the point of Garner's family, for example, that says, why can't this guy even be tried?
Absolutely.
You know, so we're with you on that. We're not saying, and I'm with the protesters in the sense that they have a right to protest, and I think they have a right to protest peacefully. But this mayor has taken both sides, to Larry's point, fucked up everything in between, and now he's got nobody on his side. Even Sharpton abandoned him. Sharpton came out against the murderer of the two cops before de Blasio did. Sharpton came out and said, we're all about peaceful protest. We strongly, what's the word,
condemn
this action. We're not about this. This guy had nothing to do with us. Which, I mean, what else would you expect him to say?
I don't want to be too cynical about it, but I think those are alligator tears right there. I think it's the most insincere thing in the world.
Fair enough.
On Al Sharpton's part.
Fair enough.
I really don't think he cares. In fact, I don't think a lot of people on the left care.
But he did the right thing is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
all right? He did the right thing,
yeah.
And he moved quickly. If for no other reason than for PR purposes, he did the right thing. He moved quickly. He moved immediately. He moved decisively. De Blasio seems lost to me. He really does. It's like unless it's him talking about how cops suck or how the rich are bleeding or sucking dry the city. Like,
yeah.
Other than his typical Stalinist rhetoric, there's absolutely nothing that he doesn't seem lost on. Anything he says to me, he's got this look of, what the fuck am I going to... Like, he really just looks lost at all times. And
but
right...
But, you know, it's the whole approach is completely wrong. Like, for instance, another thing he ran on, just like on you were just saying, with the rich, he ran on that whole thing. He was going to raise the taxes on the rich in the city to fund his school pre-K thing.
Right.
Then when Democrat Cuomo, the governor, said, look, you don't need to do that. I'll give you the money for it. He goes, no, I'm going to do it anyway. Because that's that crazy ideology,
right.
That, you know, that pits everybody against the 1% and like, oh,
right.
You know, and as far as being clueless, well, he is.
Oh, he's
you
fucking,
know, he had his talk with Dante. You know what? We should have Giuliani come and have a talk with de Blasio on how to be mayor.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I kept hitting him up on Twitter. Like, have you told Dante, you know, how to duck when it comes to like the cops turning against you? Listen, if you're mayor of New York City, you don't have to be on best terms with the cops, but I'll tell you one thing. You better not be against them. And that is the thing right now. I saw where retired policemen hired one of those planes with the banners to fly over Gracie Mansion, was it? And it said, like, de Blasio, we're all turned our backs on you now, or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was in the news the other day. So the cops, not only are they not pro de Blasio, they are vehemently anti de Blasio.
Oh, good.
I mean, I have not, personally, I don't ever remember, like, even Dinkins wasn't this bad. I don't remember the police being this vehemently anti-mayor ever in my life.
Right.
And I've lived here for 50 years. I've never seen it this bad in the sense that there was absolutely zero respect from the cops towards the mayor. And I can almost guarantee you there's zero respect of this mayor towards the cops. And one wonders how long this can continue in a city like New York, where you have 9 million people bunched into a very small physical geographical area, Judo Larry.
Well, it's not small.
No, I mean, for 9 million people, it is.
8.2 million.
8.2 million people, it is. And you need the cops to keep things running smoothly.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, it's
no,
like,
you're right.
Can you function if you're a mayor with this type of thing?
No, that's going to be his problem. He's got a lot of fens to mend here, because you're right. I remember when Dinkins was here, and Dinkins was a slob. And I think this is actually worse.
Right.
And I can remember Beam. And even Lindsay a little bit. And they had to put up with, back when I was a kid, they had to put up with the people like protesting the Vietnam War and everything. And, you know, It's just, you know, I knew it about this fucking guy. That's why I'm going to, on our website, John and I will be promoting our new shirts that say, "Don't blame us, we voted for Loda."
Yeah, we voted for everybody but this fucking guy.
We voted for Joe Loda.
Loda, yeah.
Loda's the man. He only got 37% of the vote, and he deserved more.
Listen.
27, excuse me.
Listen, there's a reason why these fringe assholes like communists and socialists and hardcore libertarians don't get elected. There's a reason for that. And as much as we like to decry the quote-unquote system, you have to realize cities like New York, Chicago, Detroit are pretty much like the Titanic. You can steer them a little bit in one direction or the other, but you can't do a U-turn with the Titanic. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't come to a full stop, even if there's a goddamn iceberg in front of you. The city itself is too big. And, like, what was it? You could fire everybody in municipal government in New York, and the city would probably still run itself for, like, a year before anybody noticed, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a machine. It's a behemoth. It runs on its own, okay?
It's like the Borg from Star Trek.
Exactly. When you have someone like de Blasio who wants to come in and turn everything on its ear, and I mean everything on its ear, no matter, even if you had the best intentions of the world, you are gumming up the fucking works. You are taking something that's been running and running like full steam ahead, and you're asking it to make a U-turn. And when you do that, things end up crashing, burning, cracking under the pressure.
Right.
It's a mess. And de Blasio coming in here wanting to, even beyond the typical Democratic rhetoric of tax and spend, coming in here and basically calling the police, I mean, he didn't use these words, but this is his meaning behind it. Racist thug police is what, I mean, look, that's what he thinks of them.
Clearly, that's what he thinks.
I mean, if he has to sit his black son down and tell him, like, now listen, when you grow up in the city and you're black and a teenager, you know, you have to act a certain way, and this is how you treat the police, and blah, blah, blah.
You know, the other thing he said,
it's ridiculous.
I got to tell you, which is also stupid. If you remember when he said that, he goes, I had to talk with my son about how to behave. He goes, a good kid who would never think to do anything wrong. Well, then why are you lumping in this conversation with people like Mike Brown, who did something wrong?
Right.
And some of these other, look, I understand that in some cases the police were wrong, but in some cases, like, the black guy was wrong. Like Michael Brown, there's no doubt in my mind he's a punk, and he attacked that cop,
right,
and like tried to take his gun from him. There's no doubt in my mind. Why would you associate that with your kid? If your kid's a nice kid who would never do anything wrong, he's got nothing to worry about. And statistically, he's got something, God forbid, if something should happen to him, it's more likely going to happen at the hands of another black dude, not at the hands of a cop.
Right. Yeah, and unfortunately, there's people who don't I've always said this, like liberals and leftists and Democrats don't know, they should stay away from numbers. They have no basic understanding of statistics and how they apply or anything like that.
Math, listen, economics, these things are beyond.
What Larry just said, which is that Dante, and by the way, don't interpret that me and Larry are shitting on Dante. As far as we know, Dante's a good kid. You know, he's done nothing to offend anyone. But the reason Dante is in the conversation is because his dad, Commissar de Blasio, has decided to make him part of the conversation. Yeah. None of us decided to attack Dante or bring him into the conversation.
Right.
De Blasio brings him into the conversation, right. Okay?
And he did it for, and you know,
and he did it for political purposes.
Cynical political purposes.
Exactly.
This was his opportunities as an 8-foot white guy to point out that he's got a black son or a biracial son.
And a black wife and the whole nine yards.
And you know, and he gets to work that angle.
Of course.
You know, and of course, naturally, if you're him and you're married to the black woman, you got kids, you know, like it, the media, some of them treat it like, well, then he would know.
Right.
Because he lives it.
Right.
And, you know, how could you deny like what he said? Well, you know what? I have a Japanese stepfather.
Yeah.
Who's not white by any stretch of the imagination. Has been married to my white mother for 40 years.
Right.
And my girlfriend's Dominican.
Nice.
Neither of who are white by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
And so does that make me a fucking expert on all these things? Should everyone just listen to me?
Yes.
Because I'm white. And my radio partner is a big homo with
yes.
me. So,
oh.
So I'm a full service.
There you go.
Minority homosexual. I do it all.
Delicious. No, but the point, you're right. But I mean, the thing is, he's made Dante a part of this conversation. But when Larry says, like, Dante is more likely, if something happened to him, to have been assaulted by a black man than a cop of any color, that's not a political statement.
It's a statistical fact.
That's a statistical fact. And, you know, liberals, And this will transition to the next story. Just because something is a statistical fact doesn't make it a political point to be argued. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if you look at the FBI stats, African Americans commit roughly five times more murders per capita than white people.
Yeah, they actually commit 1,000 more murders a year.
Yeah, but those are absolute numbers. And you know, there's roughly, you know, African-Americans make up 12% of the population, roughly. Whites make up roughly 60%. So
right,
the numbers are off because whites are five times more prevalent than blacks, but blacks commit, per person, five times more violent crimes. Now, does that mean we think blacks are more violent naturally or they have a genetic predisposition to violence? No. But
no,
you,
you can't take poverty and education,
of course,
and bad families, and
of course.
Yeah.
But you can't take the statistics and ignore them. So when Larry makes the statement that Dante is more likely, if he were murdered, to be murdered by a black man than by a cop, that's not a political statement. And you liberals better get with the fucking program. Those are statistics. Those are numbers. If you want to change those statistics, start addressing it properly. But don't start calling everyone else a racist or anything just because those statistics exist. So de Blasio, Larry, I think he's lost the city. I don't think it's going to get any better for him. And unfortunately, we're only a year into his into his administration. It's We've still got four more years of this nonsense.
Three more years. But it's not like ignorant Warren is going to resign. So I'm calling him Warren. What an idiot. He's Warren.
He's horrible. He's a horrible mayor, and already people are looking forward to the day when he's out of office. And I'm not saying...
Like even tying it into other things. Sorry, yeah. One other thing. I was actually reading in the paper the other day. He actually had a meeting with like a lot of Wall Street business people and everything. And like the article just went on to say that they're like not impressed with him at all.
Why would they
be? Now, I realize that they might be more conservative than liberal. They're very capitalistic.
Sure.
That's fine. But you know what? These are the people who move and shake your economy, and they think you're a douche. So pay fucking attention, communist.
You've already said you plan on plundering their pockets for all your programs.
For all your filthy programs.
So they're already two steps against you. And now when you meet them and now you're telling them like you're anti-cop, that, you know, and who ends up protecting all of Wall Street? You know, it's those cops. You know, you walk around Wall Street right now, you see cops with M16s walking around in battle gear because, you know, Wall Street is the most targeted area in New York City for potential terrorist activity. All right.
Yeah.
So you're going to shit on the people protecting that area. You're going to shit on the people that provide whatever it is, you know, 40-50% of the income of New York City for all your fucking programs. You're going to shit on them. Like, what kind of intelligence do you have? Forget, like...
You don't.
Forget politics. What kind of intelligence... Talk about biting the hand that feeds you.
But it's... You have to realize, it's the whole... It's like the Michael Moore thing.
Yeah.
They're convinced that these are the bad guys.
Right.
These are the people causing the problem. It's like that piece of shit movie that Clooney made, Syriana.
Uh-huh.
You ever see that? Instead of blaming, like, terrorists and it focuses on the Middle East, apparently the problem in the world is oil companies and the CIA.
Right.
Like, it's just the fucking ignorant, backward point
of
view.
Right,
And it's part of the, especially with the far left, the self-loathing.
Right.
That America is a bad... You know, this is what Jean Kirkpatrick... who was a registered Democrat at the time. She spoke at the 1984 Republican convention. This is what she talked about when she called the Blame America First crowd. That's who they are. And something happens in the world, it's our fault.
Jesus, you know, that was 30 years ago, Larry.
Yeah. That's right. And well, let me tell you something. What is old is new again. As I dig even deeper into history for irrelevant comments and quotes that drive John crazy.
Jesus.
John only wants stuff on the last 6 weeks on the show. So I'm committed to find things from like the 1930s.
No, but you're right. And I mean, listen, that whole, you know, we were talking about this before the show while we were having our pre-show brunch today, Judalarium. But it is really, to me,
I love brunch.
The confirmation bias, if you will, of liberals. Like we were talking about this. There was something in the Washington Post, obviously a left-wing paper, where they were quoting some study of racial attitudes and subtle racism in the U.S. Now, you know which tone this study was taking because it only looked at white bias towards blacks. The concept of black bias towards whites didn't even occur to these people. Yeah. It's only white against black. So already you know that this study, quote unquote, is already has a confirmation bias. It's already cherry-picking data. Then you look at the fact that they said their conclusions were, and I'm not even going to go into their methodologies, but if you take them at face value, their conclusion was that the northern states, which have greater integration, greater exposure of blacks to whites,
right,
actually, whichever formula they used, that in those states you had even higher racist attitudes of whites towards blacks.
Right.
Right. Now, the thing that was funny to me wasn't the results, because first of all, I don't even know if I believe the fucking results, but let's assume they're true on face value. To me, watching the liberals try to explain this away is what drove me crazy. For example, one theory is, well, perhaps it's the whites fearing that blacks are taking over their jobs and their positions and their status. Right. Or maybe it's because having more blacks is more threatening in terms of traditional white family relationships. And I'm sitting here saying, wait a second. This is how liberals are fucking biased out of this world. Substitute blacks in that situation for anything else. Like, hey, Judah Lariam, more exposure to loud rock music makes people hate loud rock music. What's the conclusion you draw from this? Maybe loud rock music is bad for you or hurts your ears or something like that. It wouldn't be that, wow, I'm threatened by loud rock music that I won't hear classical music anymore.
That's a classic argument.
Right.
From that it really, everything is just based on fear. Because everything in their world is based on
you
fear.
You homophobe.
Yeah. Everything is because you're just afraid of something. It can't just be because you were exposed to something and you didn't like it.
Right. And that's
now, I mean, you don't always want to hear that about
anything.
But feeling that way about people.
Right.
Because that sounds ugly. But I mean, it's one thing if you said, look, I hate disco.
Right.
Like when I grew up, I didn't listen to it because I hate it.
And right.
That's one thing. But I understand that they're kind of working the familiarity breeds contempt.
No, but that's the thing. They're not. That's my whole point is that
they're saying that about Northerners.
Right.
They're saying that they're actually saying
it's a fear.
White Northerners. Yeah, but they're saying that white Northerners, upon having more contact and more exposure and dealing more with them, like them less.
Yeah. And this was confusing to the liberals because all these years they've been saying what you need is greater integration, greater mingling and things like that. Now, here's the thing. If you were really a scientist and you got that result, what would be the first thing that came into your head? Or at least one of the things you would consider? It would be that for whatever reason,
there is no God.
There's no love between whites and blacks, or that increasing their interaction causes bigger problems.
Right.
So what does that mean? It could be something the black guys are doing. It could be something the white guys are doing, right? Yeah. But liberals, of course, can't, in their own minds, accept the possibility that there's any fault to be placed on the race
think is being victimized.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I said to myself, only a fucking liberal. This is, again, why liberals should never be allowed to play with numbers. Because whether or not it's true, for you to dismiss that as a possibility is unscientific.
Right.
As a scientist, I'm telling you, it's unscientific. It reminds me of Judah Lariam. Are you familiar with James Watson?
Yes, I am.
Right. He's the guy who was part of the famous Watson and Crick team that in 1951, I believe, discovered DNA. The structure of DNA.
Right.
This guy is a world-renowned geneticist, a world-renowned biochemist, okay? This man has peered into the very fabric of life itself. He has seen literally our universe. From the ground up, from the soup to nuts, okay? Yeah. For years, he was the head of Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories out in Long Island here in New York. He won a Nobel Prize, for God's sake, for his discovery, for his efforts in DNA. A couple of years ago, he suggested that African Americans in England, I think it was, but also here in the U.S., didn't make for good entrepreneurs, that they didn't make for good, upwardly mobile workers as a race. Okay, now.
I'm sure that went over well.
Right. Oh, and let me also throw in that the guy for years was a well-known leftist This guy was well known for contributing to liberal causes. Politically, he was like a borderline socialist.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah, the guy was in no way a racist or a right winger or anything like that. The blowback after he made that statement. Now, mind you, I'm not even saying he was right. He could have been absolutely wrong. But to accuse a man of his stature, the first words out of the scientific community's mouth, you're a racist. It's impossible. It can't be true. They stripped him of his Nobel Prize. Wow. He got fired from Cold Spring Harbor. This is a man that inspired me when I read his book, The Double Helix, to become a biologist, to become someone who got learned in terms of genetics and evolution. This man is a racist because he came to a conclusion? Even if it's wrong. He's racist simply for considering the possibility. And I know what everyone else out there is going to say. Oh, you're a fucking racist. You're a Nazi. You're a whatever. You know, you want to build the master race and all of it. Fuck you. All right? All I'm saying is, if you're a scientist, how do you exclude possibilities based on political leanings?
Right.
If you're a scientist, right. That shit should never enter into your head.
Right.
So there should be the possibility that there may be something to Watson's statement. There also should be the possibility that there's absolutely nothing to his statement.
Right.
My point is, why would you go to such vitriol with this guy? Now, I heard there's some Russian billionaire that's actually buying the Nobel Prize he got stripped of at auction, giving it back to Watson, and Watson plans on selling it to donate the money to charity, liberal charities. He's trying to make a good before he dies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Larry, but
they shouldn't just rule it out of hand and just say, well, you're racist, and dismiss it.
Right. Or you could call him an idiot, but why go to such trouble to ruin a man?
Yeah. Well, he's not espousing the party line, so he's out.
Despite an lifetime of liberalism, by the way.
Yeah.
Despite a lifetime of supporting every goddamn left-wing cause. Like, I have no respect for him as a political figure. Don't get me wrong. He's against everything I believe in politically. But as a scientist, again, how do you deny that this guy is one of the top experts when it comes to genetics, when it comes to evolution?
Right.
How do you deny that?
Right. You can't.
Watson and Crick. I mean, even people who know nothing about genetics have heard of Watson and Crick.
Right.
Okay? Watson was the American half of that duo. Crick, Francis Crick, was the British half.
British guy, yep.
But Judah Lariam, that's symptomatic of what we're seeing now, right? That when you get all these statistics thrown in a pot, if anything suggests any sort of culpability on the oppressed, and I'm using the air quotes, oppressed race of people, it becomes dismissed. And it gets tossed out of hand, right? So much like James Watson, if you suggest that, hey, the black community commits 5 times as many violent crimes according to FBI statistics as their white counterparts, don't start bitching at the FBI. Be critical of their methodology if you want. That's fine. But the result is the result. Why not attack it? Like, if you're Bill de Blasio, why not give Dante a talk then statistically about not owning any guns? And not hanging out with people who own guns.
Who are dangerous.
Who are dangerous criminals.
And leading dangerous lives.
I'd respect that talk, not the talk of, you know, you have to conduct yourself a certain way because you're black with the cops.
Right.
Right? What do you base that on? What do you base that on?
Right.
Even if you think Eric Garner was murdered, let's assume you're one of these radicals who thinks Eric Garner was murdered. Statistically speaking, how many is that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Out of hundreds of thousands of interactions.
Yeah, they don't care about that.
Of course not.
The far left, here's their formula. A white guy killed a black guy. Okay, that's just racist. It's filthy. It's wrong. It's time for me to have a hissy fit. That's always been their thing. Or that's their formula. Like, for instance, if you notice, they don't care that the situations are different. Here's something I've noticed about, like, Mike Brown,
right.
Garner, Trayvon Martin. They just keep lining them up because this is how they look at it. Something happened, and a black guy wound up dead. Something happened.
At the hands of a white guy.
Right. No, but, well, they keep claiming that Zimmerman was, but he's not. But the point is, something happened. Black guy died. Something happened. Black guy died. They don't, you know, and the fact that a white guy's doing it just sets them off.
Right.
Because they're all those assholes from the 60s and they're obsessed with, like, racism. But in other words, all they care about is that end result. So that's right. why you always see them. Like, they don't care if Michael Brown was a criminal and a punk. They don't care. Just like they don't care that Eric Gardner obviously was not. You know, look, come on, selling loose cigarettes is, to me, is like akin to jaywalking.
Right.
But they don't care about that. All they know is, well, something happened, and then, like, black guy wound up dead, and a white guy killed him. Like, I've seen shows right now, like on stupid MSNBC. If you point out that 93% of blacks in this country are killed by other blacks, they don't care. That's dismissed.
Right.
They say that's irrelevant, it's a distraction, it's racist, it's like a million things other than the truth, which is what it is. They don't care. They just don't care because they think you're trying to get off topic.
Right.
And all they care about is, well, the cops are paid to protect communities and they shouldn't be doing this. Well, you shouldn't be stealing cigars from stores and pushing little right. Indian owners out of the way.
Right.
And you don't attack cops and punch him and try to take his gun. You're not supposed to be doing that either. And if you want to get technical, even the loose cigarettes, you're not supposed to be doing that. That's illegal, too.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you have to realize that the other reason they're assholes is because this isn't, you know, Rosa Parks. That's not what this is. You're not Emmett, what's his face? I'm sorry, I just blanked on his name. This isn't like a real, like, this shouldn't be like a real civil rights crusade. You're not fighting for, like, well, look, you have to use a separate toilet than white people. It's not that. Some of these guys are just punks and criminals. And the fact that they're, and now, even if you look at Ferguson, there was another shooting the other day. A cop shot a black guy who pulled a gun on him at a gas station.
Yeah.
This is like 3 miles from Ferguson. Look, there is a problem here. There's no doubt. The black males are just, they're considerably at risk in this society.
Until
we start taking a real shot and just blaming the police, what is that, though?
Yeah, I have to tell you, it was on tape. The incident you're talking about was a black teenager pulled a gun on a cop who had rolled up in his cruiser. The cop shot him and dead. Now, it turns out that the gun was empty that the kid pointed.
Right.
But it was, I actually saw one commentator who was black say, well, if every time a kid points a gun at a cop, the kid gets shot, maybe that person doesn't deserve to be a cop. And I sat there and said,
what
the fuck are you talking about? You understand what I'm saying? Now it's getting to the point of ridiculousness with a lot of these protesters. It's like there's never a justified shooting. There's never a justified right. beating
or an
arrest.
The cops are always wrong.
They're always wrong. And now, you know, just like I am loath to say that the cops are always right. I understand that they're wrong.
No, of course they're not.
Okay? But I truly believe this. I know a lot of people will think it's horseshit, but I really think it's not a black and white issue when you look at these cops, or a white and Latino issue. I don't think that's the case. What I think it is, it's a poor versus not poor case. You know, I think when you're in like an urban setting, especially in a depressed area, you have more crime in that area. You have more interactions with the police. So when you're in a poor area or a low income area that has a lot of crime going on, you have more opportunities for the police to interact with you, and not in pleasant ways, by the way.
Right.
You know, like a robbery, an assault, a shooting, okay? So you're going to have more opportunities for that population of people to deal in a negative way with the police. So you're going to have a greater number of incidents in those areas. Now, do cops overreact? Oh, absolutely. They're human. If 9 times out of 10, a 6'8" black teenager with a hoodie ends up pulling a gun on them, and I just made that statistic up, but let's assume it's that, then what is the 10th time? The cop is going to assume that black kid with the hoodie is going to pull a gun on him. Why? Because that's what he sees every day of his life.
But that's also what the problem is with de Blasio here, too. Is
right.
If you create an environment of this kind of, you know, like, well, the cops, they're at fault, they're in this riskiness. Look, you know how nervous you're going to make these people? They have to get dressed up in these uniforms. They're targets now. They're walking around society. You can see them easily. You know what? I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to do this job. You have to get up, and you have to literally, you have to worry about, like, every asshole passes you in the street. You don't know
all
what,
the abuse you,
don't know
you
what
take.
They think. Yeah. All the bullshit. Yeah, look, they're not punching bags for every asshole who's upset about something.
Yeah.
That's not part of their job. I mean,
yeah.
I understand that danger is part of their job.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to foment an attitude that, well, you know, this, you can do whatever you want them. If you make them feel like that, let me tell you something, you're actually going to make them more trigger
yeah.
happy.
Like, I mean, listen, I'm the first, if you follow me on Twitter, That Riot Show on Twitter, I've said, like, for example, the head of the police in Cleveland, when he was talking about Tamir Rice, he says, well, you know, if everybody just obeyed every command of the police, things would be better. Well, you know what? Fuck you, asshole. We don't live in a police state. All right? I don't have to do everything you tell me to do, especially if I'm not doing anything illegal. All right? So go fuck yourself. I don't take that line with the police, personally. I don't know about Larry, but I don't ascribe to that, okay? Like, I don't...
I agree with you in principle that, you know, clearly if you're not doing anything wrong and everything, they shouldn't be allowed to just push you around.
Well, right.
I understand from that point of view, but I do understand that if some of these kids who are getting shot, and if there was a little bit more respect for authority and there was a little more like, look, he's telling me to stop moving, like, do it. Like, don't pull a gun.
Right. No,
don't do some of these things. Well, like, even like the Amadou Diallo thing that happened like 20 years ago. I understand that was terrible. He got shot. He was only reaching for his wallet. But you know what? They told him to fucking freeze. Don't move. Don't make any sudden gestures. Don't reach in your pocket. Don't go out of your way to make the situation worse.
Well, that's right. That's the other side of the coin, right? So it's like, well, I don't agree that cops should be telling me how to live my life. Go fuck themselves. If a cop's got a gun drawn on me, that's not the point for a debate in civics, right?
No, it's not the moment where you make a physical gesture.
Right, right. I agree.
It's only going to end up one way.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for you.
Stand there.
Yeah.
How hard can it be?
Right.
I'm starting to think that some people have like an impulse control problem. Stand there. How hard can it be? I had a run-in actually with a cop like 2 years ago, and he was a bit of an asshole to me. I think I talked about it previously on the show. And all right, you stand there. You talk. If he's an asshole, he's an asshole. So what? You know, you don't make things worse.
Right.
Because there's only one way that can go.
Right. I agree. So I think but there is sort of like this overbearing attitude on a lot of cops, and I think that has to be cut back. I agree.
Yep.
But I still don't think it's a racial issue. I believe this to my core, living in a quote-unquote racially integrated city. Like, you're not going to tell me that New York is somehow segregated, all right? If there is a segregation, it's usually economic, okay? You have poor people, middle-class people, and then not poor people, right? But my point is, it's like, I think that's where you have to work on the relationship with the police and the citizens, is in these economically depressed areas. Now, if those economically depressed areas happen to be largely Black and Latino, say in New York, or Asian, or whatever the case may be, that's another thing. But I don't think cops wake up saying, we have to roust Black guys today. We have to roust Puerto Ricans or Costa Ricans or Dominicans
or
today.
Or even shoot one,
right?
What is the point of that?
Right. I don't think that's how people wake up every morning. But there probably is an issue to be had. There is something to be said about relationships with the part of the community that's not as well off. And again, that's fine for people to protest that. But circling back to our original point, de Blasio, you're fucked, my man.
Yeah, but he has nobody to blame but himself. He's so busy like reliving the 60s. He doesn't realize, like, look, you're the mayor.
Yeah.
You need the police. You need them on your side. You need them to help run your city. Who's going to enforce
the
laws?
Right.
Yeah, look, I don't think much of Charles Barkley, the former basketball player.
I love
him. But a few weeks ago, he did make the one comment. He goes, you know, without the cops, he goes, we'd be living in the Wild West. He's absolutely right. If you took them away, it's like the last.
By the way, Charles Barkley has to get invited to the riot. You have to work on that, Larry. That fucking guy is awesome. Did you ever hear him just talk the plain truth in his own country, bumpkin backwoods Alabama way?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. I think there's room for duh with some of the things he says, but he's absolutely right.
That's why he's perfect for the show, bro.
Speak for yourself, bitch. I'm an intellectual.
I'm a professor. I have a PhD.
You do? I didn't know that.
Anyway,
I'm a high school dropout.
Oh,
fuck you, you snob.
Oh, well, Judo Larium, what do you think? Good show for today?
No, we got more time.
We got more time?
Yeah, I think. You know what? Let's just sneak in very quickly something that ties into this with the interview.
The interview.
The interview. The interview. The movie. It's gonna be. It's out. It's released now.
What do you think about that? The whole situation with the interview.
I don't know. The funny thing is, first it came out and the FBI identified North Korea as doing it.
Making the hacks into the Sony computers and also threatening to blow up any theater that screened the interview.
9/11 type attacks.
Right.
You know, and then somebody started walking that back a little and said, well, maybe it wasn't them after all. It might just be like some Sony and some hackers who decided to do it. And then, of course, there are people who think that all this might be just some way to like, create buzz around the movie.
My personal thing is, Larry, I think Sony, it's a big PR stunt. I think that...
Really?
Yeah, I think, look, they start,
very risky.
They started with this nonsense with the interview being a threat to North Korean Kim Jong-un. They started this months ago, where they started planting the seeds of this potential hack. And then all of a sudden, like, North Korea hacks Sony? That's weird.
It only tied in because the North Koreans got very upset about the movie coming out.
Yeah, I understand.
Kim Jong-un's head exploding.
Yeah.
Which, of course, the best part about that is if his head explodes, yeah. You know, we don't have to look at that haircut cut by Rachel Maddow.
But, you know, they didn't get this way with Team America, and Team America had Kim Jong-il's head exploding at the time. Listen, I think personally, and I'm a very cynical person, so take it with a grain of salt, I think Sony was just testing a direct-to-consumer distribution of a major motion picture. I think Sony, very correctly, is figuring that in the future, we're not going to have, like, movie theaters.
We're not.
They're already dying. I can't even remember the last time I went to a theater to see a movie. Honestly, I mean, I catch everything on demand or streaming on Netflix or Fios on demand or something like that. So I think these guys were testing, like, if we have a major motion picture release, let's test all the different ways we can distribute it directly to consumers. But how do we do that without pissing off our theater partners, our movie theater partners? I know. Let's create a fake scandal, a fake threat.
I think that all sounds very conspiracy.
Of course it is.
And it's interesting, but I will take it with the grain of ignorance. I don't believe that they did that. I think that...
At them. What did they do? They released it on YouTube for pay.
Yeah, but it's not as simple as that, because you have to realize, along with the hack and the release, they released all those emails that the executives put out there. And that guy Ruben and that other one, Amy, what's her face? And
the one that called Angelina Jolie a bitch.
and like minimally talented,
well,
and out of her mind.
Yeah.
You have to realize, along with doing that, they've damaged those people's lives. Why would you do that? Like, in other words, if this was just a dry run on let's see how the people respond to this, because we think someday in the future there won't be any movie theaters. They did a lot of other damage to people in the industry and by releasing it. And then that takes on a different dimension, because there would be no reason to do that if all this was let's see if people will see a movie without a movie theater.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think it's taken with a grain of salt. But that, like, I mean, to me, it was a little too convenient that they had all these alternative delivery methods ready to go. Do you know what I mean? Like, it didn't take them all that long to release it on YouTube. It didn't take them that long to distribute it on Crackle or pay-per-view or VOD. Like, I mean, they were pretty quick to figure out how they could do that.
They released it with Crack? That's fantastic.
Oh, nice. You know, Crackle's owned by Sony, which is a Netflix alternative. It's a Netflix-like type of site. So,
and of course, the other side issue, which also ties into what we were talking about earlier, a North Korean spokesman called our beloved president a monkey, which is very racist and very offensive. I notice all the liberals out there aren't upset about that. Why don't they study the DNA of commie gookers who call people monkeys?
Whoa!
Hey! All right, I'm sorry. My patriotism spilled out there. That's,
yeah, they called Obama a monkey, like a monkey in a forest?
They said,
like,
as usual, his words are reckless, and he's behaving like a monkey in a tropical jungle. I was like, a monkey in a tropical jungle?
And just to show they're not racist, didn't they say something about Biden as well?
Did they?
I thought you said they called him like a squared, not Biden.
No, not by Kerry. Kerry, a few months back, they called him an evil, square-jawed werewolf or like some horrible. Now, you can't argue the jaw part, but of course, that's not a racial comment.
Oh,
They didn't say anything about him being white. They just said he had a jaw like Jay Leno. That's
Hey, listen, you know what I think the problem is? I think all these liberals need to get some of those PSAs over to them, those anti-bullying PSAs.
Yeah, that'll go over real well. Why don't you send that to them while they're doing their May Day parade?
Well, that just goes to show you, I've always said, like, while people in this country are worried about coming in second place and being called a loser and hurting people's feelings and making sure that everything that comes out of our mouth is not offensive to everyone, you've got an entire fucking communist regime, which, by the way, has nuclear weapons at its disposal, that don't give a fuck about calling the leader of the free world a monkey. Yeah. You know what? Toughen up, liberals, you cocksuckers. Don't be so sensitive.
Just once, I'd like the State Department to come out and just like State Department's response, look who's talking.
State Department response, go fuck yourself.
No, look who's talking. Where you going, monkey? For a 4-foot midget with a lesbian haircut. Rice head, shut up. You don't get to talk about the president like that. That's terrible. And of course, to show you the bias, you want to talk about bias and all this? I noticed they didn't have anything to say about Putin.
Yeah.
When he was riding around half naked on a horse.
Well, nobody wants to fuck with Putin. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, fuck with Obama and his mom jeans. That's okay. Plus, you know, I'm pretty sure that if they called Obama monkey, everybody's feelings would be hurt so much that they wouldn't be able to do anything.
Oh, yeah. In fact, now that they called him that, I want to have my final exams postponed for a week because I can't take the breath.
Oh, you fucking sensitive faggots. I can't take it anymore. We got to end it right here, Judo Larian, because otherwise my head's going to explode.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, I hope everyone had fun. We'll be back again closer to New Year's or perhaps a little bit after New Year's with the next episode of The Riot, number 99 coming down the pike, inching ever closer to that century episode. But until that time, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larian.
Peace.
Happy New Year.